this is Lena Live with my another program, which I am dedicating to a very special guest, Lori Herzinger. She is a woman of courage, artistry, vision, and knowledge. Her own personal journey certainly will give us tremendous impact on her understanding of human emotion, human mind, and how to make sometimes tough switches, shifts, to make our life more fulfilled. Lori Herzinger, you're most welcome, and I like to welcome you even stronger with giving you full freedom to make your opening statement, even though we're not a courtroom, but we're not air room. So please tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you like to share in the beginning.
Okay, thank you very much, Lena. I'm Lori Herzinger, and I have been in the healing arts here in Albuquerque, New Mexico for 15 years. And my interest in alternative medicine started quite a few years before that. I was very sick with lung disease, asthma to be exact, for many years, and had an asthma attack when I was in about 30 years old that had me in the hospital, and I had a near-death out-of-body experience. That experience brought me, as I came back into my center from that experience, I had a dramatic shift in my emotional system, and all the symptoms of my asthma changed at the same time. And that shift lasted for about a full month, Lena. And at the time, I felt very calm, very relaxed, very different than I normally would feel, and made a very clear connection between the emotional system and my physical condition of asthma. And then about a month after this experience, I had a relapse of my emotional stress, if you will, and with the emotional tension, all my symptoms came back very strong. And so I spent the next about 16 or 17 years going into the study of emotions and alternative medicine and energy to find an answer to what that exact shift was for me and why I lost it and how I could regain it. So the book that you have that I've written called Toggle It is a culmination of that experience and the work on a mental focus technique that helps us restore positive emotional energy and restore our health. And that was the result of this experience.
I have to immediately confess to you that when I touched your book, I was quite puzzled how such a tremendous experience and journey which you had already could be explained, expressed, and so diligently described in such a petite book. It is such a wonderfully, eloquently put information, as I mentioned to you in our brief telephone conversation. I tell my students that life consists of big little things and little big things. So you combine both. You manage to put big things in a little thing. And there is a tremendous benefit to it, because you not only you can take it in your purse, and not only you can make it as your inseparable friend, but also because the way it's written, you almost can open it in any chapter and relate this to very easily with your own issues. Some of them can be very profound. Some of them can be just of a moment of the doubts. So I wanted to congratulate you, because it is very rare to have such laconic expression in a quite powerful world of your thinking, needless to say, your experience. So I like to march through your book and go perhaps from chapter to chapter to share a few of my own vision, my own thoughts. But before doing so, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your childhood, because we all have roots, we all have some kind of a foundation, and the only thing I frankly learn about you that you have a quite substantial education in New Mexico School of Natural Therapeutics. But I'd like to go a little deeper and to ask you, what was your childhood and what kind of a memories do you have regarding your childhood?
Well, of course, you're referring to the first chapter, excuse me, which starts with my history, because that's where a lot of the stress that I experienced was originally programmed. And my childhood, my parents divorced when I was about 7. My mother had a problem with alcoholism, and she was a very brilliant woman, very strong in her nursing abilities. She was a nurse at a local hospital. My father was a scientist. He was a geologist here in New Mexico. But they had a very tumultuous marriage, and there was a lot of fighting. And then they divorced. And so you will see in the first chapter is some of my early childhood memories of the fights and the fear that I developed in my psyche, basically, or in my emotional field, as a result of being exposed to a lot of fighting that went on. Now, there was a lot of really also good memories, but when the book is really focusing on the stress mechanism, so the history focuses more on the trauma and the stress. When my mother remarried, she married my stepfather, and the alcoholism and drug abuse escalated in that relationship for her. And there were two more children born, so there were 5 of us. I was the oldest of 5 at that time. And the drug abuse, there was a lot of violence. I was constantly on edge of whether or not I needed to call the police or paramedics, because the drug abuse and the alcoholism and the violence were always creating the hyper alert for an emergency situation. So I grew up with a lot of hypertension in my emotional field. And so that's what is really being conveyed there. Everything in the book is accurate and true as far as I can remember. I, of course, had my brother help me with it to make sure that his memories and my memories sort of those days coincided. But it's also not only a true story, but it's also kind of a metaphor for all of our stories, because I know everyone has had very difficult times. It's just part of our humanity. But I'm trying to convey in the book that these moments of our real difficult times are times when we program stress that then stays lingering in our system.
Those last words, the times when we programming stress, somehow when I was reading your book, frankly, in music, we call it a leitmotif, which means that there is a major seed in musical thematical material, and then that seed goes through the piece, getting some transformation, getting some evaluation, if one can say. That's what I felt, that when you've been writing this book, this word stress became such deep rooted in subconscious of this book. I feel that this book almost has 2 parts. One, here the real me who went through this tremendously humanly challenging experiences. But there is another part of the book. This is myself for all of you. And you can take from this spectrum whatever you need and whatever you want. And I just wanted to say that it's not just the word I'm using, humanity, but I truly felt very inspiring impulse to relate some of my own questions, my own, if you say, unsolved issues, which, for example, relating to our society. And if we can just make a little bridge and getting away from your beautiful persona and life and get into the social issues, because in present climate, it's not a secret any longer that people are separated, people are isolated, they're incredibly fearful, and this is the most natural, trustful connection just dissipating. I felt that the book is almost like a connecting tissue and a reminder that unless we will be reconnecting with ourselves, perhaps with the pain, perhaps with some fear and emotional risk, but without doing so, we simply will not be able to survive. And I like to finish my comment with one of your wonderful beginning of chapter 6, where you take words of Albert Einstein, for whom I personally, among many musicians and journalists, have a soft spot because he was a musician and he was a scientist. So he was able to combine abstract and concrete like very few people could. So he said, "We shall require a substantially new manner of thinking if mankind is to survive. One should have quite a brave mind and open mind to comprehend this thought." So my next question is for you. How would you relate your message and all this tremendous spectrum of your feelings and conclusions to a young generation, people who are not enough mature to face complexity of the world and yet have some experience of their childhood, have experience of divorces, many other issues? How would you connect that?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked that question, Lena. What is beautiful about working with young people in this work is that they have not yet lost their idealism. And the work lends itself to idealism, because what we are understanding is that the emotional system works in a polarity, and it will either express itself with positive emotions, or if we have been under a lot of stress, we will transform those positive emotions into negative emotions, and we will then degrade, in a sense, our ability to function at a high level. Young people crave functioning at a high level. They still have a lot of vitality. They can have been through a lot of negative events, but they still have a fair amount of positive emotional energy that they're anxious and biting at the bit, if you will, to use. Yet they are being introduced, if you look at the teenagers and the people in their 20s, they're being introduced to a very stressful world that keeps resonating to them hopelessness and despair and defeated outlook. They are young people still resist those lessons to a degree. And so this book gives young people an opportunity, and I've had many young people come to me and be very excited about this work, because it gives them a tangible way to hold on and maintain their positive aspect and their positive light in a world that's really impressing upon them a lot of darkness.
You know, this almost unavoidable, unavoidable self-confession, and I would say, and I made this point with some other distinguished psychiatrists and journalists I had an interview with, I would say that the only perhaps positive side of our modern world today is that we are forced to come back closer to ourselves. Because in order to survive like a stage one, but then a stage two in order to succeed and still have your own place in this world with your accomplishment, you really have to know who you are. So I like to ask you if you can kindly go into your chapter 7, negative emotions and programming, and elaborate on this, because I think this is really tremendously important root of the issue we're talking about.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And you, the idea of coming back to ourself, I like to equate that back to a potential that we had when we were young. I believe that when we were born, for the most part, we have an emotional system that really was contained mostly positive energy. When I talk and give my lectures, Lena, I explain to people, imagine if you had 10 pounds of emotion and you were never going to have more or less, but this was your contained amount, kind of like you have a contained amount of blood in the body. There's certain DNA qualities that will stay consistent in our system. And so I look at that with the emotional system and say, let's say we have 10 pounds of it. And when we're children, most of it is in the positive frequency. And that means that most of it is in curiosity, creativity, desire, passion, satisfaction, contentment. These are all positive emotions. And oftentimes as adults, we reflect back to our childhood, sort of longing for those feelings to be back because we remember when we had them. What happens is that as we are growing, we get taught lessons that literally put the mind in a position to program a negative emotion where it didn't exist before. So I'll give a very simple example of that. Let's say there's a child, and the child is very curious. Maybe he's 3 or 4 years old, and he's playing in a kitty litter box. And he is experiencing wonder and curiosity and maybe enthusiasm, but he's experiencing positive emotions because children need those emotions for exploring their environment and learning. When the parent comes in, the parent sees that this is an unsanitary act, and so the parent reprimands the child. If the child resists the reprimand, in a sense, he won't feel the shame. We'll call that child maybe stubborn, but the child will continue on and keep repeating the behavior because he's still feeling his curiosity and his motivation. But if the child learns the lesson and becomes ashamed of themselves, there is a decision or a moment of realization that happens in the mind that moves the emotional energy to a painful position. So it takes the child and sort of puts them in a pause, and then the child accepts the lesson, and that lesson is, shame on you, there's something wrong. And the child then, the mind will move the emotion and program a negative emotion, which will now be painful. And the child learns to identify that pain as shame. The real interesting thing that we've been able to sort of heuristically suppose or project onto our understanding of the emotional system is that at the moment that the child does this, the child was feeling more curiosity and wonder and spontaneity. At that moment, the emotion gets shifted. So now, not only is the child feeling the painful emotion, they have lost access to the full spectrum of that positive emotion. And when the child is now in the future in a position where they would have naturally felt more curious and spontaneous and outgoing, they will instead feel lack of confidence and shame. And that will be something they will have to learn to work around. And the more of these lessons that they're taught and the more dramatic the lessons are, then the more dramatic that change is. And so what we find is that as adults, we have a lot of negative emotional stuff, but we have a depletion of the positive emotions. This work teaches us how to reactivate those negative emotions and literally pull them in a mental process, a mental thought process that pulls them in and literally allows them to reboot as their positive counterpart. So we're beginning to reverse a system that will now allow us to begin to decrease the amount of negative emotions that are stored in the system and consequently increase the amount of positive emotions so that we begin to feel more of our wonder and our spontaneity and our desire and our curiosity and our appreciation. Those begin to build up as the despair and the angers and the resentments and the fears begin to diminish.
And, of course, that certainly leads to a bigger issue of cultural roots, of certain psychological idiosyncrasies, and you becoming almost like a conductor who has to channel the proper and adaptable thought for this particular moment, for this particular individual. And I'm so grateful that you indeed took such a diligent and careful emotional understanding regarding a child's mind, because the child is a future parent, and whatever children are experiencing, it is usually sits in the parenting issues. I like to make a little sudden link to something which I did not find directly in your book, but one of the beauty of your book is the fact that it does stimulate your own thinking and your own evaluation. And one of these issues, I wanted to talk to you about this relatively new modern disease, which called panic attacks.
Uh-huh.
And I literally dying to know your take on this, because this is probably one of the most treacherous and highly speculative connection between physiological manifestation and between mental emotional state. I like to ask you, what is your vision and how do you approach this?
Well, actually, I would refer to the Oriental Five Element application that is outlined in the book. And that is an understanding of how the emotional energy surges through our system and how that energy will affect specific types of cognitive and physical function, as well as the physiology of the actual body. And panic attacks come under the category emotionally of anxiety. And so in the Oriental Five Element application, anxiety is in the fire element. And the fire element is where we would take action. So let me back up a little bit. Our water element is where we set our goals. Our wood, then the energy moves. Once we've set a goal, our energy moves into making plans and decisions. And they call, in Oriental philosophy, that is called the wood element, where you build structure. Then the energy moves to this element that we call fire, and that's your action. And the emotions, the emotional energy, when it's in its positive state, produces mastery of action. It produces enjoyment of work. It produces warmth in our interactions and communication with others. Excuse me. When the fire element swings out of balance emotionally, excuse me, it becomes anxiety and lack of confidence. And so there's a lot of energy in our action, and when the anxiety begins to dominate the system of the fire element, it is very powerful. And so, yes, anxiety attacks would fall in the fire element. They're very, very powerful emotional reactions, and they affect the cardiovascular system, and they affect the digestive tract, they affect the hormonal balance in the body, and you would still address the anxiety attack in the very same way. And I know that I personally struggled from anxiety attacks, and shortly after this toggle technique that I discovered how to do it, then I began to wake up in the middle of the night. It's like my anxiety attack sort of rose to the occasion. And it took me 3 different nights before I got a full toggle, if you will, of that emotional energy to flip back over to its positive frequency. But I would just sit with the anxiety and keep focusing on it and just trying to keep pulling it in, recognizing that this negative, highly charged energy was going to literally transform and produce my ability to master my actions. And so knowing that, it was easier to keep my focus and to keep pulling it in. But it does indeed follow the pattern of toggling. It will move. It does make a shift. It just takes longer because it's much more intense energy. So the application, I don't know if you had a chance to go to my website, Lena, and download the audio instructions for toggling.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did. Since you mentioned this, you absolutely will have all time in the world to finish your point. But yes, I did, and I was trying to connect that with your chapter 6, Let's Toggle. So that would be certainly next segment of our discussion. But yes, I did.
Wonderful. Well, the wave application, which I believe is on the 3rd or the 4th track, is the application that I would encourage people to use for panic attacks. The reason is it's an extended version of the technique, and you need that extra time to really keep your focus and move the amount of energy that is contained, in a sense, in an anxiety attack or a panic attack. Does that answer your question?
It certainly does, and it's such a stubborn manifestation of our modern society, and because you did experience that, I wanted to ask you next question. However, I think we will have just a little bit of a music interlude, which we usually have in our programs.
Okay.
We will take this moment for thinking, to reflect on our conversation with my very special guest, Lori Herzinger, who is truly a visionary for our modern complex world, who went through tremendous challenges as a child, formed herself as a very strong adult with the wisdom and knowledge, and now she's kind enough to share with us our mutual air. So on this note, we will get into the musical note, and after this, I will continue my program with Lori Herzinger.
Thank you very much.
And we're back with our program with Lori Herzinger, who is a writer, thinker, tremendously powerful humanitarian, and also healer with real solution for very complicated issues. Lori, we did talk about panic attack, and you went into description and mechanism of it. I like to make a shift, not totally leaving this subject, but to connect it somehow, if I would be able to your points of let's toggle. I have to be honest with you. I wanted to look for the translation of a word toggle. I'm coming from Eastern Europe, and for us, it does mean certain things, and they are not totally in dissonance to what it means to you and the way it is elaborately described in the book. But there is a certain connotations and certain differences in interpretation of this word. So let's get to the root of the word first, and then I'd like to know how indeed you involve this word in a real practice.
Okay, thank you for that question. Toggling has become, or toggle has become kind of just a catchphrase, but initially where it came to be is that when I was first recognizing how my emotional system could make this shift, I was engaging in my negative emotional stress, and then I was focusing on the stress. And I was asking myself the question, does the stress heal itself? And when I asked the question, it allowed me to look at the stress as an energy system within myself. And then I would literally pull that energy in as if it were a homeopathic remedy, like cures like. And literally allowing that emotion to be drawn in, almost like I'm drinking a milkshake through a straw. It's a pulling in of on my intention on that emotional charge. What happened is there was a very quick little shift that took place. It almost made me a little disoriented, and it felt like a switch had clicked off in my mind. And all of a sudden, I wasn't feeling the emotional tension anymore, and instead, my mind was actually elevated for the task that I was doing when the emotion came up in the first place. But I was really curious about this kind of, occasionally, this click kind of sensation that was accompanying the transformation of the emotion moving from a negative stress into a positive, empowering emotion. And so at the point of change, it feels like a switch has been clicked. And sometimes that is more distinct than other times. But I began to tell my friends at the time, I said, it feels like I'm just clicking a toggle switch. And like it just clicks off. The negative emotion just makes like a click. And I began to see it like a switch. That in the mind, if you can pull that negative emotion in, there is a moment that it changes. And that moment is almost like a light switch.
I will just jump in. I'm so sorry jumping in. That's really intrigued me. And I just wanted to take advantage of our extremely spontaneous exchange and to make a comment. You really describing such an enormously strong control, which basically every performing artist like to have, performing on stage and have this almost automatic ability to switch from one image to another with a certain talent and certain training, et cetera, et cetera. It does become quite natural, but it is still a totally different thing when it's in the real life with us. So I just wanted to jump in and to ask you a little bit about the intricacy of this process, where and how you discover this tremendous opportunity for emotional abilities to be switched, because often if we're troubled by something or we have life habit or life emotional climate, we think that that's the only way. And we struggle with this. So we feel that that's the only way we know, and we're terribly terrified, feeling we're risking everything to try something new, something which we cannot see but need to feel. If you can connect to this a little comment which I just made.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I, you know, and this is a concern for people, because you're right, when we feel emotional, it is our reality. But one of the little hints that we could have that our negative emotions are not such a strong reality is that everyone doesn't feel the same negative emotions over the same things. And so this begins to give us a little bit of a view that it's very individualized. For instance, if you have 10 people in a room and you bring in a dog, you will likely get 10 different reactions to the dog. Well, at least maybe 3 or 4 different reactions, because everybody will not be afraid of the dog. That tells me that the dog doesn't really cause fear. Otherwise, everyone would have the fear. But some people are programmed with the fear, and so they respond out of fear. Other people do not have that same programmed fear in their system, and so they will maintain their curiosity, their spontaneity. They will have more of a positive emotional response. And individually, everyone has things in their life that they're not afraid of, that they know someone else is afraid of it. It might be somebody is afraid of heights, but you know that you're not. It might be that somebody is afraid of bugs, but you know that you're not. It might be that you're afraid of horses, but you know people who are not. And so in my mind, I believe that based on how we were raised to see the world, our mind automatically can toggle things that we have not been taught to be afraid of. If somebody puts a fake spider in front of you and you think it's real, you may have a fearful reaction to it. But as soon as you recognize that it's not real, your mind literally at that point has the opportunity to toggle back to a positive frequency, and then you will laugh at yourself and you will no longer be afraid of this thing that has been put in front of you. So it's very individualized about how we develop our fearful reactions to things. And so toggling comes in and says, you know, there are things that you are, that stress you out, that you wish you could feel more relaxed about and be in more control. And those are the things that we start the toggling process on. Some people know that every time they are around around horses that they're afraid, but they really wish they weren't. And that's a place where when somebody knows that they have stress that they would like to change, we start there. Once they see the potential for change, then their mind, their mind goes deeper and deeper into more possible changes in their negative emotions, and they see more potential. So that's the goal of my work.
And we will continue untangling. I like to give Lori a little break, which she fully deserves.
I will drink a little bit of water.
Please, and we will listen to another lovely, refreshing piece of music, after which we indeed will be continue talking and toggling process with the five elements toggle process, which so lovely and beautifully constructed in the book. So now we are going to listen to another piece of music, and then we will continue my discussion with Lori Hosinger, who is, as mentioned before, writer, thinker, survivor of a tremendously challenging childhood. And now she is generous and gifted enough to share her system of thinking and her knowledge of wonderfully, beautifully shaped emotions. So much for emotions, which we certainly can feel through so many sources. Music is one of them. And the other source is Tagalog book, which is a phenomenally beautifully written guide how to reboot our system. And we did talk about Tagalog in the most important elements, and Lori was quite descriptive regarding those elements. And I just wanted to address one page in the book, which has graphic design, 5 elements toggle process. And Lori, stage is yours. If you can just briefly comment on those, because of course we all love shortcuts. We all love to find all quick answers in the most complicated questions. I think this is page just for that. So if you just can comment and make that.
Yes, I can give you a little bit of overview of how the 5 elements were integrated into the toggle process. Early on, we were just working with the mind's ability to literally activate negative emotions, focus on them, and then reboot them back to a positive frequency. At the time, I had a dear friend and colleague of mine who is an acupuncturist. She was actually in school to become an acupuncturist at the time, and she asked to read my pulses. And I don't know if you know much about the pulse reading process. But
with the Chinese, sorry, interrupting you, only with the Chinese medicine. That's all
perfect.
My knowledge is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what it is that the Chinese doctor will actually feel the pulse in the wrist in 3 different positions on each side. So there's 6 positions, and there's a deep level and a superficial level to each of those positions. Each of these points on the wrist correspond to an organ system. So one of them is the bladder and the kidneys. The deep one will be the kidneys, and the superficial point will be the kidneys. And then the next position will be the liver and the gallbladder. the liver being the deeper point and the gallbladder being a little bit more superficial. And then the next point on the wrist would be the heart and the small intestines. And then you'd move to the other wrist, and they would feel the quality of the pulse to see how the lungs and the large intestine, and then the next point is the stomach and the spleen, and the last point is the hormone system and the pericardium. So they're able to feel the quality of the pulse in each of these points and give a diagnosis of how well those organs are functioning and what kind of symptoms and problems that the patient is having, a lot of it based on what they're feeling in those pulse points. So as I was doing this work, my friend wanted to read my pulses. Now, another thing that's interesting is that in Chinese medicine, they recognize not only does the pulse relate to each of the organs, but that each of these organs are sensitive to certain emotions and functions of the mind. And so when she read my pulses, she told me that my spleen was out of balance. And I had done a little bit of study in Chinese medicine for my alternative therapies education, and I knew that worry was related to the stomach and the spleen. And so I asked her, while she was reading my pulses and felt that the spleen was weak, I asked her to keep reading the pulse while I was going to do this technique. And what I did is I knew there was something I was worrying about that I was trying not to think about. And I allowed my mind to move to that subject and let the worry rise up into my awareness. And what happened is that the pulse got stronger, and she was surprised. But what it told me is that when we try to talk ourselves out of a problem, we literally suppress the emotional system into the body, and it begins to affect the function of energy flowing in the body. When we allow that emotion to come up back into the mind, then it releases out of the body. So she asked me, "What are you doing, Lori?" And I said, "Well, I'm not done yet, but I'm actually doing this rebooting of the emotion." I went back and I focused on this worried feeling that I was experiencing, and I focused on it and literally drew it into the center of my mind and felt it shift. At the same time, she felt the pulse regulate and shift and balance itself to the other pulses, which is a very substantial and significant improvement in Chinese medicine. And so what it told us is that these emotions that we feel and we try to talk ourselves out of are directly connected to imbalances in the organ system. At that point, I began to scour over Chinese medicine, some books that I have on Chinese medicine, and developed the five-element chart that you see in the book. And I was able to separate out from the Chinese medicine. They would say in the water element that emotionally or mentally we would be experiencing fear and overwhelm and distrust, but it's also the place where we experience deep rest and connecting with our will and setting our purpose. What I began to recognize from what they had put together is that if we separated out those negative emotions, right there we're seeing the polarity of the emotional system. So I separated things for the chart to show that when we're feeling fear, it literally is blocking our ability to relax, meditate, and set our intention. And that simultaneously will affect the bladder and the kidney. In the toggle process, if we activate that fear, think about the things we're afraid of, for instance, until the fear rises up into our awareness, and then we focus on the fear and pull it in, when it reboots to its positive, it literally brings us a deep, quiet, peaceful place. That is where we contemplate, rest, and set our intention. So I was able to extract a polarity out of the components that Chinese medicine had already identified. at the same time that the fear itself would toggle and the mind would calm down and relax, the energy in the kidneys and the bladder would improve, improving the function of those organs. And so the five elements goes, what we just described was the water element, but it goes through all five and the different organ systems and the range of emotions that will affect each of them. This is very helpful when we want to use toggling to improve the health of specific organs.
This is so tremendously profound, and my mind is racing in so many directions. I'm struggling to make a comment and yet to stretch time to another question. I will try to conclude with a little bit of both.
Okay.
Firstly, I wanted to make a strong connection between what you just said, which fundamentally is so, so profound, to face what is troubling you, which is in itself is a separate program, because there is a huge issue with a chronic denial in so many minds, because it's almost natural if you're scared, you run away. But that's running away can work if you're running away from the stormy rain, but it doesn't work if you're running away from your emotions. And what you just so clearly described made me think that there is a difference between being in a control and being controlling. So if you in a control, that means that you do have this ability and a wisdom to confront what is controlling you. And once you can face this, that's already 50% of the battle. And then you're trying to find the keys how to deal with that. I will just imply a quick little note here, studying and then afterward teaching psychology of the performance. I came across for many, many years facing issues with a very talented performing artist. And some of them are so nervous, they really hardly can face the stage. And they already know the piece, they know all elements, they did it all. And yet, this is a huge issue with a fear of bruised ego. So I feel that this is almost too late. I was able to help some of them by introducing the idea that when you go into stage, it's almost too late to confront this issue because you're carrying this experience of everyday life. But when you indeed become close to yourself and create this oneness of subconscious and conscious, then you have this very truthful dialogue. And if someone will be wise and smart enough to read your book, this dialogue will be that much more nourished with answers. And then once you establishing this way of life or making at least a habit to come back to yourself on a daily basis with your own little routine process, whether it's a meditation or perhaps playing music instrument or just talking to a friend. But as soon as you feel that you're in this totally open contact with yourself, facing whatever you need to face, this is already a tremendous open first step. I like to ask you if what I just comment on indeed relating to the fundamental approach which you feel you expressed in your book.
Absolutely. What we are teaching people is there is a way to master their emotional system. It doesn't mean that you will never feel negative emotions. It means that when you do feel them, you will recognize that the emotion has risen at the exact moment you need its positive counterpart. You begin to recognize that when anxiety comes up, it brings you mastery. Just pull it in. Don't be Don't resist it. It is literally rising out of your fire element, and it's delivering to you the amount of energy you need to pull in to master whatever task is right in front of you. And so you begin to become friends with your negative emotions as you transform them. And it's beautiful, and I am so appreciative of how you have really grasped what the work is, Lena. And I'm just so pleased for this interview. Thank you very much.
Pleasure is mine, and only because we do have some emotional time, which is in a conflict with the real time, our program
is
graduating to the end. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity for remaining a few minutes, indeed, to let us know about your website and how we can get your book. And before that, I just wanted to thank you profoundly, intellectually, emotionally, just as a human being, for such a tremendous contribution, writing this book, sharing your own life in times where you greatly need it. And my best, absolute best wishes, not only for your future books, but continue to be just as beautiful as you are. And only being a woman, I'm looking at your smile, and that already says who you are.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. The book is called Toggle It, T-O-G-G-L-E-I-T. And it can be found on Amazon.com and also at my website. But I believe Amazon.com has it also in Kindle, so you can get it as a download for a Kindle, like an e-book. There are free downloads. Once you've read the book, you will have a real good idea if you want to try the work. Many times when people read the book, they still feel a little cloudy about the actual process of the toggle. And so the free downloads on my website are audio tracks. They're audio files, and you will just close your eyes and listen through the actual track, and it guides you through the process of actually doing the toggle. My clients, as I would talk them through it, they would say, "Lori, if I could just get you to record your voice and take it home, I could practice." Well, I responded to that by recording it and found that it worked very well. So that's what we make available on the website. And then there is also a very, very beautiful poster that gives the five elements, the meridians where pain shows up in the body, and all the pulse points. It's a great reference chart for people who are using the toggle, and gives all the information right in front of you in a poster. So those are the things that are available. There's a blog also that is has a link from my website that gives some creative uses for the toggle technique that you might not have thought of. Once you get into it, your mind is going to say, but what about this and what about that? Well, the blog addresses some of those curiosities as well. I also teach, and I teach here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so I have classes that help people perfect the toggle, the pulse reading, and the ability to master pain responses in the body as well. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share all of this with your audience, Lena.
Thank you again deeply, and I would not say goodbye. I would say until soon. And continue with another conclusive piece of music. We will wish Lori, wonderful, the rest of the hours in her place. And we will be concluding with my final thoughts of goodbye to my audience, saying that that was Lena Mirmont with Lena Live, with this very live music, with my thanks to BBS Radio, and with a very, very handsome man who tirelessly serving us hosts and giving us an opportunity to share our thoughts, our little crazy twists, but mainly to be devoted to all of you listeners.